Hence, I'm sorry I haven't a clue. The antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello and welcome to another edition of I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. Today we're coming to you from historic Oxford, whose interesting name apparently came about when an observant local noticed an ox in a ford and thought it would make a nice name for a university city. Interestingly enough, things noticed in stretches of water have for a long time provided the inspiration for the names of towns. There's Cat Ford, Bed Ford, the Irish town of Waterford. And, of course, broken pram, a couple of old boots and a bicycle fork. Anyway, we're the guests of the Playhouse Theatre here in Oxford, and when I say we, I'm referring to, on my left, Graham Garden and Barry Cryer. On my right, Willie Rushton and Tim Brooke Taylor. One or two listeners to recent programmes have written to say that they've never actually heard Samantha doing any scoring. Here's a tip. Put an ordinary glass tumbler up against the speaker and put your ear to it and you'll hear everything you want to hear and more besides. Anyway, will you welcome Samantha? Okay, we'll start with a round called Famous First Words. In this round, teams, I'd like you to suggest, please, the first words that well-known people, alive or dead, are likely to have said. And I'd like you to start, please, Graham.
Little Richard. Goo goo gaga goo bopaluma.
Tim.
This is Elton John's first words. Give me a hat! Don't look at my head!
Barry.
Robert Maxwell. Trust me.
And Willie.
John Major, this is a very exciting way to be born, Mother, but... but they've taken away the safety net.
It's Oliver Reed. Is that surgical spirit, nurse?
Tom Jones. No, nurse, that's not the umbilical cord.
Famous film director Michael Winner. Cut. I'd like to go again, love. Lots more screaming this time.
Gerald Kaufman. I must call home.
Noel Coward. A womb with a view.
Frank Sinatra, mm-hmm. This is positively my last appearance.
Well, this is the point where I give the teams advance warning of the late arrivals they'll be announcing later in the programme to a well-known ball in the social calendar. And this week, teams, I'll be asking you to announce the late arrivals at the confectioner's ball. The confectioner's ball.
Oh, good.
That's sweet. Cake.
That's right, yes. Right.
Thank you.
Yes. Our next round is a musical one in which I'd like you teams to intone the lyrical refrain of one particular vocal composition while simultaneously pursuing the melodic line of a dissimilar piece. In other words, one song to the tune of another. You can use Colin Sell if you think it'll be of any help. You might even ask him to accompany you on the piano. Tim, you're going to sing Satisfaction to the tune of The Lonely Goat Herd.
I I can get no satisfaction, no satisfaction can I get, cause I try and I try and I try and I try, I can't get no, I can't get no, when I'm driving in my car, and that man comes on the radio, and he's telling me more and more about some useless information, it's going places sometimes too far, and that's why I can't hear the piano, oh, that's what I say, can't get no, can't get no, can't get no satisfaction, I can't get no satisfaction, satisfaction, fade out, I can't get no satisfaction, just switch the radio off.
Okay, Barry, here's one right up your street. You're going to sing How Much Is That Doggy in the Window to the tune of Land of Hope and Glory.
How much is that doggy in the window? Woof, woof, the wild with the waggly tail. How much is that doggy?
And this is Richard Baker from the Royal Albert Hall. Willie, you're going to sing Come Into the Garden, Maud to the tune of The Night They Invented Champagne.
Come into the garden, Maud, for the black bat night has flown. Come into the garden, Maud, I am here at the gate alone. I'm here at the gate alone, and the woodbine spices are wafted abroad, and the musk of the roses blow. And the breeze of the morning moves, and the planet of love is on high, beginning to faint the light that she loves. On a bed of daffodil sky, to faint in the light of the sun. Come, 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 come.
That was the best so far. See what you can do, Graham, now. You're going to sing Get Me to the Church on Time to the habanera from Bizet's Carmen.
Thanks.
I'm getting married in the morning. Ding dong, the bells are going to chime. Pull out the stopper. Let's have a whopper. Get me to the church on time. I got to be there in the morning, spruced up and looking in me prime. Girls, come and kiss me, show how you'll miss me, but get me to the church on time.
Okay, teams, now here's a cultural round. With its many strange historical customs and traditions, Britain must at times appear a puzzling place for first-time visitors to these shores. In this next round, teams, I'd like you please to act as tour guides around a particular item of British heritage to an assorted group of inexperienced foreign tourists. We're going to start with you, Willie and Tim. Will you please give a tour of the British Museum?
Museum.
Yeah. Museum.
The lips gone. When you enter the reading room, there will be a hushed sense of expectancy, so perhaps you'd like to sing your favourite national song, and when they want you to sing a little bit louder, they'll go, shh.
A useful phrase for those whose English is no use at all,
when in the reading room, is ear cock wears the filthy stuff. We also have one of the largest collections of Egyptian mummies in the world. Please take one.
I'm now going up to one of the attendants here. You can just ask him how to play Elgin Marbles. He'll show you.
Here is the Rosetta Stone.
Oh, so it is.
You won't believe, when you try it out with two or three friends, just how high it bounces.
And now, if you'd like to show your backing for democracy, perhaps you'd like to add your signature to the Magna Carta.
They've all gone now.
Right, Barry and Graham now. Will you please give us a tour of Madame Tussauds?
Well, could you ask your wife to move about a bit, sir? We're stock-taking. Now...
Enjoy a hilarious blindfold game of pin the eyelashes on Barbara Cartland.
Now, the Duchess of York isn't in here, madam. We've melted her down to make Shakespeare's sister.
Interested in DIY? Why not rearrange Michael Jackson?
I don't know, sir. It's either Ringo Starr or Yasser Arafat. I don't know.
Kindly refrain from hanging your hats on the Chippendales exhibit.
Is that it?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good.
More than someone.
Because now we have an ancient game entitled Cheddar Gorge. In this game, team members will take it in turns to say one word at a time, gradually building up a sentence. However, teams should take care not to complete the sentence. Incidentally, for those uncertain as to why such a round should have a title so completely unrelated to the workings of the game, I have here a brief explanation. Peter prefers porridge. Yum, yum. I'm a banana. Okay, good. Right, Tim, will you start, please?
I start?
You start, Tim.
Peter.
Prefers.
Plums.
To
any
other
form
of
transport
available, comma, the
forces
of
evil
which
can
be
anywhere
at
the
last
moment.
Was that a full stop or a semicolon?
No, it's going on. The last moment
of...
That's it, see?
Peter's...
Progress.
Oh.
Is the O in there?
Upward
as well?
Inflection. Progress.
Comma.
Which. Comma.
Is.
Dash.
Albeit
only
the
one
which
is
the
last
tango
in
as
open brackets.
Close brackets.
Dash.
And
then
we
saw
the
Peter.
Saw the Peter.
Yeah. It's a safe cracker.
Ah, yeah.
That's a safe cracker.
who
is
the
known
and
always
the
trusted
Mornington.
Street.
That's, yes, That's the only way I know how to stop that game. Quite useful, eh? Now to a round which takes as its subject those delightful rhymes we were all taught in the nursery. Though many of these rhymes may appear to us today as little more than nonsense, they are in fact full of useful tips for the age in which they were written. One such rhyme, for example, is a stern warning against the consequences of placing sleeping babies in the upper branches of trees during windy weather. Another paints a disturbing picture of domestic life in a shoe for a single parent with too many children. Teams, I'd like you, please, to suggest some suitable amendments to well-known nursery rhymes to make them more relevant to life as we know it today. Shall we start with? You, Willie.
All right. Little Bo Peep has lost her sheep. I'll tell her how to find them. Since the froggy farmers have done their worst, look for the smoke coming out behind them.
I'm the king of the castle and you're a dirty rascal. I'm a big fat banker and you're a little customer.
Hickory dickory dock. The mouse ran up the clock. The clock struck and the mouse came out in sympathy.
Graham, have you got anything to say?
Yes, I have, Humph.
Oh, good.
There was a crooked man and he walked a crooked mile. He found a crooked sixpence against a crooked stile. He bought a crooked cat which caught a crooked mouse and they all lived together till he fell off his yacht.
John Cole was a merry old soul, and a merry old soul was he.
Well, no one said he was already there when he worked for the BBC.
Wee Willie Winky runs through the town, upstairs and downstairs, in his nightgown, in and out of houses and along seaside piers, and when they finally catch him, he should get 10 years.
Half a pound of tuppenny rice, half a pound of treacle. Whoops, I've spilt them on your head. I'm Jeremy Beadle.
Oh, dear.
No more? Okay, well, let's go on now. Teams, we're going to play now our own version, teams, of the amusing television programme Call My Bluff, in which panellists provide definitions for obscure words. I shall give you a word to define, after which I shall attempt to guess which is the true definition. And your word, teams, is... orangutan.
Oh, it was ping. Orangutan, God. Well...
we'll start with you, Tim.
Thanks. orangutan, orange tan. This is 1920s Northern Ireland, a good tasteless subject. The black and tans, before that, the tans were with the orange men. You see the way this is going. The orangutans, and they used to march along with all their hairy hands scraping along the floor. The orange and tans. Or a fat frog. That's basically what it is.
Okay, how about you, Barry?
It's Scottish, not Irish at all. It's an Annie Laurie story.
He fell off the back of Annie Laurie.
She was actually resident in Forfar, which is famous. It's mentioned in A Tale of Two Cities. It is a Forfar better thing. And her sister, Amazing Grace, was ill, and she had to look after her and still try and ply her trade at the same time. So Grace suggested that she... popped her head out of the window, twinkling at passers-by. She said, you can either put a postcard in the newsagent's window or hangout an. Or hangout an. It means a tartan room. Scots folklore. Or hangout an.
Okay. Willie.
There are basically two ways of getting up the noses of the royal family. Well, three if you're an expert in ear, nose and throat. Either you upset the Duke of Edinburgh, Or, and this is the alternative, you annoy the Princess Royal. So, people either say he's really got the nose of Prince Philip, or angered Anne. So, as Philip has got more and more benign as the years have gone by, and his age has increased, and he doesn't shout at people, basically now you don't have to worry about the nose of Prince Philip, so you just say, people just say no, or angered Anne. It's annoying the Princess Royal. I may be doing that at this very moment if she's listening.
Great.
Yes, well, in fact, orangutan is an onomatopoeic word originating in Australasia. Imagine, if you will, a group of Aussies getting together for a corroboree in the shade of a coolibar tree by a sparkling billabong. And as they throw another jumbuck on the barbie, some old-timer puffing contentedly on his kookaburra will whip out his didgeridoo and give it a blow. And orangutan is the word given to the noise made by a didgeridoo, which we could demonstrate with your good selves and my fellow players. If we all chant along together, you'll find out how very onomatopoeic it is. If we all go, orangutan, 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 orangutan.
A sun arise every morning.
Oh, it works.
There we are.
There we are then, orangutan, a wobble board.
And I now have to guess, teams, which one is the true one. It's not too easy for me because I didn't understand any of them. But I'll go for Graham's because I like the singing. So I'll go for Graham. So will the person who gave the true definition reveal himself, please?
Oh,
good. It wasn't, was it?
Lord. No.
Was it? Was it?
Who'd have thought it?
Yeah. Well, I never guessed that.
I think it can be a thin frog as well, mind you.
Incredible. Now we go on to a musical round entitled Bad Tempered Clavier, in which I'd like each team to sing a well-known song while at the same time being forced to listen to some completely unhelpful piano accompaniment. Incidentally, you may be surprised to know that it takes great skill to play the piano horribly off-key and out of time. Colin Sell does it superbly. He should do, he's had enough practice. The aim of the game, teams, is for you at least to remain in tune. And we're going to start with you, Barry and Graham. You're going to sing Night and Day.
Like the beat, beat, beat of the tom-tom when the jungle shadows fall. Like tick, tick, tick of the stately clock as it stands against the wall. Like the drip, drip, drip of the raindrops when the summer shower is through. So a voice within me keeps repeating, you, 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 night and day, you are the one. Only you beneath the moon and under the sun. Whether near to me or far, it's no matter, darling, where you are, I think of you. Night and day, night and day, under the hide of me, there's an oh such a hungry yearning burning inside of me. And its torment won't be through till you let me spend my life making love to you.
Right, Tim and Willie, you're going to sing There's No Business Like Show Business.
The costumes, the scenery, the makeup, the props, the audience that lifts you when you're down. The headaches, the heartaches, the backaches, the flops, the sheriff who escorts you out of town. The opening when your heart beats like a drum. The closing when the customers won't come. There's no business
quiz the slide show. Quiz the slide, no. Quiz the slide, no. You get well before the show has started. That's your favorite uncle died at born. Talk about that more and more apart. You're broken hearted, but you go on. There's no people like show. People may smile when they are low. Yesterday they told you you will not go far. That night you open and there you are. They say on your dressing room they hung a star. Let's go on with the show.
I can't judge that one. I'm going to put it to the audience. Which ones did you think sang most in tune? First of all, Barry and Graham. Or Tim and Willie.
Why do I care?
Sorry, that was Barry talking.
Do you care?
No, I do.
Well, that was interesting. Now, the four times winged chariot performs another elaborate handbrake turn, and we are... Who writes this? Before we go, I'll just ask the teams to announce the late arrivals at the confectioner's ball, starting with you, Graham.
Mr. and Mrs. Seedballs... And their daughter, Annie, Seedballs.
That's knocked me down to one now.
Flann O'Brien.
Go on, Tim.
Pray silence, please, will you, for our first mulatto nudist. Mulatto nudist, listener. Ginger Nuts.
Oh.
It's a bit of a gobstopper.
No. Mr. and Mrs. Seri and their daughter, Patty Seri.
Hey, bag of bullseyes. Who is that woman Jim Bowen came in with?
Music by the Max Jaffa Cake. Who is that fat, creamy thing just oozing advice? Ah, it's A. Claire Rayner.
And there's Mr. and Mrs. Gums and their son, Wayne Gums. All the way from France, Flapjack, who juggles with nine rolls. It's a sort of croissant nerf fact.
It's there if you look for it. I think.
You see, you've got out of the confectioner here. I thought it moved on to bed. I was just about to introduce Al... Al, because the lady loved milk tray. It's a long name, but it...
I think he's come in with Herbert Dab. Pa and Mar Zippan.
Any more
sweet? It's,
I've just spotted Dick. No, that doesn't come under that. Anyway, I've just spotted Dick. It's just a personal thing.
It's often difficult to know exactly when to step in and close the show.
And there's Mr.
Minutes ago.
Not this Mr. time. And Mrs. Nems and their daughter Emma Nems. David Battenberg and a orangutan.
Well, that's all for this week. Join us again next week. Until then, from us all, goodbye.
Timbrook Taylor, Barry Trier, Graham Garden and Willie Rushton have been given Silly Things to Do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme was produced by John Naismith.